guys won Best Picture.
This is not a joke. I'm afraid they read the wrong thing.
This is not a joke. Moonlight has won Best Picture. Moonlight, Best Picture.
That must have been a familiar scene to everybody from last year's Oscars when the Best Picture got goofed up, Jayanth.
Yeah, pretty much.
And the Academy pulled off a Steve Harvey announcing Moonlight as the Best Picture, or rather Moonlight was the Best Picture, but initially they announced La La Land and then they found out it was Moonlight. But what does all of that have to do with economics? That's what we are here to talk about. This is Tariq.
Hi guys,
for the Economist podcast, and today's episode is about film awards, beauty contests, speculative investments, NFL draft, and European football.
We're pretty much going through everything.
And what connects all of these things, because that's what we are here to discuss. So quick word on the Oscars, they are coming up this weekend. I'm sure everybody will be keenly watching to see how the nominees perform. Everybody probably has their own favorites they will be rooting for. Who are you rooting for Best Picture, Jayanth, this year?
I'm not decided. There's a paradox of choice this year.
It's quite a huge list. Some people are hoping if a movie like Get Out wins, or maybe a movie like Three Billboards, who knows? It's going to be an interesting choice. There is a movie called Darkest Hour under the scanner because it's on Winston Churchill, and people are sort of looking at it slightly differently now. But again, we're not a film show, Jayanth. We are an economic show, and we are here to talk about economics. So a lot of you also might be entering your Oscar office pools, or might be betting with your friends in terms of seeing how many correct predictions can you make of the winners. We have done that almost each year, Jayanth. We fill out our New York Times Oscar ballot. And then it's locked. And then we check on Oscar night. How many do we get right? I have a film buff friend who does it all the time. Challenges me every single year to try and predict as many nominees or as many winners as possible from the nominees. But the thing to keep in mind here is that you might like a certain actor or an actress or a movie that you want to win. You know, if it were up to Jayanth and I think Denzel Washington would be winning every single year.
DiCaprio would have won it long time ago.
But the problem with that is that we are not the ones deciding the awards. It's the Academy voters who decide the awards. And what we are trying to do here is we are trying to guess what those Academy voters, we do not really know who they are. We know they are people from the world of cinema, a whole group of people. The Academy never releases the list of the people who vote. So it's very hard to read into their minds and to predict. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to take their average and try to guess which might be the winner, which is sort of what happened at the 2017 fiasco. Initially, when they announced La La Land, everybody thought it was all right because everybody was sort of expecting La La Land.
Yeah, it was more or less done deal.
But then somebody pointed out, I mean, the La La Land guys who were receiving the award pointed out that that was not the winner, it was Moonlight.
Right.
And then they called the guys from Moonlight on stage and very graciously handed over the Oscar. Of course, that the whole thing became a huge controversy. But that's not what we're here to discuss. We're here to discuss how, when you play your office pool with Oscars, you are participating in what we would call a Keynesian beauty contest, which comes, of course, from John Maynard Keynes's probably best-known work, The General Theory, the book that is called The General Theory for short. Jayanth, would you want to read for our listeners what exactly a Keynesian beauty contest is in the words of Lord Keynes himself?
Yeah, to quote Lord Keynes himself, professional investment may be linked to those newspaper competition in which the competitors have to pick out 6 prettiest faces from 100 photographs. The prize being awarded to the competitor whose choice most nearly corresponds to average preferences of the competitor as a whole. So the each competitor has to pick not those faces which he himself finds prettiest, but those which he thinks the likeliest to catch the fancy of other competitors, all of whom are looking at the problem from the same point of view. It is not a case of choosing those which to be the best ones, judgment are really the prettiest, nor even those which average opinion genuinely thinks the prettiest. We have reached the third degree where we devote our intelligence to anticipating what the average opinion expects the average opinion to be.
So that's, there you have it, straight from the general theory. What the average opinion expects the average opinion to be. So when you are trying to guess who might win the best picture or best sound editing or best animated feature, that's what you are trying to think. What will the average Academy voter possibly think? And there are a lot of other areas in life where this particular framework can be used or applied. Jayanth already mentioned one while reading from the Keynes quote, speculative investment, the stock market investment. And that's because that chapter in the book is one where he's talking about investment and he himself was involved in the stock market. So no surprise that Keynes thought pretty deeply about it.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that point about why this is an important concept in the stock market. But before, there are a couple of other areas in life where this kind of applies. So if you think of, for example, the NFL draft, or if you're not into that kind of football, then the European football transfer market, where teams are trying to guess who would be a good player and to place bids on them. But it's extremely hard to predict who could be a very good player, who could turn out to be the future superstar. So they have to kind of try and guess as to who everybody else also thinks is a well-rated player and use this so-called wisdom of the crowd to kind of figure out what the best bid for a player could be, which is why bids run up so heavily on superstar players, because everybody wants them. So everybody knows everybody else wants them, and the result is that they got signed up by, well, almost any club other than Arsenal.
Yeah.
Usually. So it plays its role that way, in the sense that here again, what really is valuable is for people to figure out what average opinion could be, or what other people are thinking, or staying ahead of them in terms of thinking. It's like that line from Godfather, where Michael Corleone says, Jayanth?
One thing I learned from my father is to try to think as people around you think. On the basis, anything is possible.
So on that basis, anything is
possible.
Speaking of on the basis, anything being possible, James Sarochki, who wrote a book called The Wisdom of Crowds, writes how or why this is actually kind of useful. He says that the idea of wisdom of crowds is not that a group will always give you the right answer, but that on an average, it will consistently come up with a better answer than any individual could provide. So if you could guess what the crowd as a whole is thinking, it's already a very valuable input, especially if you're in the investment business.
Yeah.
And that's where Jayanth will tell us how this plays a role in the investment business.
So in investment, you can see everywhere from your IPO markets to your Bitcoin frenzy, where the wisdom of crowd, how it works. So whether it is an oversubscribed IPOs or a 5-star rated funds, or buying into Bitcoin because everyone else is buying and you don't want to miss out on the thing, because no one knows the rationale of investing, but they just want to do it because everyone else is doing and they don't want to miss it out.
But at the same time, while you might say that this is just people riding on the bandwagon and people just doing what everybody else is doing, there is actual value to be had in doing this, because as George Akerlof and Robert Shiller write in their book Animal Spirits. They say that many people do not appreciate how much a company with a given name can change through time, or how many ways there are to debase its value. So stocks that nobody really believes in, but that retain value, are what they call the delicious apples of the investment world. Now, don't confuse this with Apple computers or Apple the company now. This is the related story of these apples called Delicious. I'm sure all of us have tried it at some point of time. Those pretty costly, shiny looking apples that are usually available in the supermarket. Interestingly, they used to be tasty at one point of time, but now they are no longer. But they are being marketed under that name Delicious. And because everybody has heard about Delicious, because everybody knows that Delicious is a good apple, or everybody has been buying them, people still keep buying them. Although what growers did was to try and make more profits rather than investing on making them tasty apples.
Shiny.
They're mostly just invested on making them branded, looking shiny, looking nice, and they have been displayed everywhere. So from cafeterias to banquet halls, you find these on display because they look good, and people think that, oh, these must be good apples because they are sort of everywhere. But while such a delicious apple scenario exists, Jayant, can we talk about how this can be helpful, especially if you're trying to navigate your place in a market?
So basically, if there are, if you look out any of the analyst reports on any stock or any company, and if you hardly see anyone diverges in view. So if someone has example buy rating on an Infi, so more or less everyone else also is anchored to it and wants to be there with a buy rating. So please remember, there's not any buy call on Infi, it's just an example.
So that's the idea, that you could look at these aggregates of behavior, aggregates of reports, and you bet on the fact that not many people are making this analysis. So if a big crowd is pulling towards something, there must be something to it. Although later on it might turn out to be that delicious apples problem. But broadly speaking, it's an easy shortcut to deal with a situation where there is a lot of uncertainty. So like we said, our Oscars example, where there's a lot of uncertainty because we do not know who the Academy voters are, so we're only trying to do our best guesses. So you could, to win your Oscar pool, what you could do is you could take all the predictions some people have published, say whether 538 at New York Times, everybody publishes typically the kind of movies they expect to win, and take an average out of those and fill in your own Oscar ballot, you probably have a better chance of doing well in that particular pool than maybe somebody with a lot of knowledge, individual knowledge about films and acting and things like that, and trying to predict how these guys will vote. So probably like funds of funds, Jeff?
Yeah. So I mean, wherever there is a five rated funds, or wherever there is an analyst who have rated the funds well, so more or less the wisdom of crowd comes in wherein everyone wants to be there, wherein they think that it has to be a right kind of thing. So averaging out everyone's opinion is what gives you the classic wisdom of crowd.
And that is why it becomes so very hard to beat the market. And that is why people tend to rely on these mnemonics or these shortcuts, one of them being this whole Keynesian beauty contest. And because we began with Keynes, we close with Keynes.
Yeah.
With his thoughts.
To quote Lord Keynes, investment based on genuine long-term expectation is so difficult to do as to be scarcely practicable. He who attempts it must surely lead much more laborious days and run greater risk than he who tries to guess better than the crowd how the crowd will behave, and will give intelligence he may it may make more disastrous mistakes.
So we'll just repeat this again. So investment based on, like we're discussing, investment based on long-term speculation is really hard. And what Keynes is trying to say here is that you could put in a lot of effort and try to guess as to how a particular investment might do better than the crowd, and you think you can beat the market and things like that, but it's extremely hard to beat the market, and he may make many disastrous mistakes in the process. So rather than doing all of that, what he's suggesting is that if you want a quick shortcut, it's not the worst idea to go with the opinion of the crowd, that is the average opinion. So that is about all the time we have this week on the Economist podcast. This has been another economics discussion that we hope you found illuminating and interesting. If you have questions on these, or if you have any other topics you would like discussed here, or any other stories you would like us to share, please let us know. Please let us know how we are doing. You can visit our channel on Audioboom. It's audioboom.com/economist. And you can also check out our blog on itsthemarket.wordpress.com, or follow us on Twitter at The Economist. That's Economist, ECONORMIST. So we hope to hear from you there, and we'll be back soon with another interesting economic story. For now, best of luck with your Oscar pool.
Yeah. Good luck, guys.
And your retirement investments.
Yeah.
This is Tariq signing off, along with Jayant.
See you guys.
See you guys next time.